Amen. Yes, tonight we continue with, just by the mercies of God, a strategic understanding on our season, especially our spiritual warfare as soldiers. At this time, with the knowledge of what most of you already understand about it, last days and prophecy and end time, at this time, we don't really need anybody to tell us we're living in the last days. Anybody that have eyes can see what is happening all over the world. Something is definitely shifted. And what we see in the Middle East, what we see in Russia, what we see just boiling around Syria, the thing is that the news only carries what is important to them. But in reality, Syria is in turmoil. The whole Middle East is shaking. Egypt is still, all these areas are just the whole Middle East. And the Middle East is the cradle of prophetic destiny, is the center of civilization. You know, so everything happening there has a lot of reference to prophecy. And now with Russia and all this happening, so we really know that something is happening. And we need to be sensitive to how God wants us to be praying and how God wants us to position ourselves. Amen. Tonight, we are continuing on the season, the prophetic season. And everything about spiritual warfare has a lot to do with timing. Timing is everything in the spirit. You know, there's a time to sow, there's a time to reap, there's a time to do, there's a time for that, a time for this. And we've talked about the different kinds of time. God has given man time, which is man's time, but God also has his own time, which we call Kairos moment. So in the scripture we have been looking at, in the book of Matthew 13, since you all know that scripture by now, you remember that the servants of the farmer came and said, "Where you planted wheat, where did this tares come from?" And the husbandman answered, he said, "An enemy has done this." And they said, "Should we go and uproot it? Should we go and take it out?" He says, "No. Don't do it now. Wait until the harvest time. Wait until the harvest time." So, and it says, at the time of harvest, that word time, if you click it in the Greek, is kairos, meaning at the time of harvest, I will send forth my reapers and they will gather first the tares to burn them and then later the wheat. So now Jesus is using a very clear physical example to give us understanding of spiritual timing. Now, the farmer in the physical, what he's saying is, he's going to let these two things grow. But there will come a time that both of them have come to maturity. Their harvest is ripe. And then he says the farmer will now harvest, will now send his reapers, and they will reap. That's the farmer's time to harvest. So in the things of the natural, the farmer will first of all destroy, take the wheat, the tares to destroy, and then receive the grain, the wheat as harvest. Now, in the things of the spirit, the parable was interpreted as Jesus says, the tares are the children of the wicked ones, or meaning the agenda of the wicked one, or the governmental structure of the wicked one, or the plans and strategy of the wicked one. Whatever it is designed to stand in the way, to hold and to abort what God is trying to do. But then the wheat, is, it says again, is the children of God. And it says at the end, at the harvest means at the end, God will send forth his angels and they will gather this, you know, the wicked to burn and the wheat into God's barn. God's children will shine as light. Now, in spiritual warfare, as we are looking at this season, he says in harvest time, God says, I will send reapers. I will send angels. So today we've been looking at the various, we've been praying into the harvest time and been using that Matthew 13. But today we want to read another scripture that will help us again understand the atmospheres. Because see, it's dealing with the farmer in the physical. The farmer says there's a time that it was set. When things are ripe, I will move in. I will come in. I will take care of business. I will get my wheat, and I will take away the obstacles out of the way. So God is saying there is a time assigned to the enemy to do his work. But at the time of the harvest, meaning when God has found enough repentance in his people, the people have matured or he's prepared his people, and the cup of the iniquity of the wicked is full. When things come to that climax, God says, I will step in. That will be my time. I will come in. I will come in with my army, and I will take care of the wicked, and I will bring my children into their place of glory. So having that in mind, if you look through history, we've discussed this many times, how those seasons have come in different generations. The days of Noah, there was a season where God had to wait for a long time, and then he waited because he didn't want to destroy the wicked and the righteous until the ark was ready. And then God sent rain, and we knew what happened. He harvested Noah and his family, and that's the reason we're here today. The days of Joseph, the similar thing. The days of the different prophets, there were different things that happened with Israel. And so we see that there is a time to sow, and there's a time when that which is sown is grown, and there's a harvest time. So today I want to read a scripture in the Old Testament that also talks about a prophetic harvest time. And this will help us to understand the atmosphere we're living in, so we can really step forward and do something. There's a word, a word that is very common. It's used in the Old Testament and in the New a lot during when it is a transition, a harvest time has come. And that's the word for arise. You know, the Willing Women Conference, the theme was arise and shine. That word arise there is spelled in the Hebrew, is spelled Q-U-W-M. And the word is for a time of transitioning. Something has happened. Something has been released that will enable the people to rise and they move forward towards the place of their harvest. The same word was used for Joshua, arise. And when Joshua arise, God was empowering him to go into the camp of the enemy and possess. The same word was used with Jehu, you know, arise. Immediately he was anointed. He went to the camp of, and really took over and overthrew the generation of Ahab and Jezebel. The same word was used a lot in the Bible, but in Isaiah 60, it was saying, arise. Why? Because the glory of God has risen, and that will launch us into arising into that glory in the midst of gross darkness in the earth. So that word arise is an activation that takes place when something has happened in the spirit. We are to walk by faith and step into what God is calling us to do. And then we'll begin to see the manifestation of the breakthrough that God has initiated. So I want to read a scripture that will help us look at a harvest season, a prophetic harvest season today. This is, I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 7. Chapter 6 talks about a particular situation when Israel, in the days of Elisha, Israel has backslidden so much that God has withheld so many things from them. So God, at this point, they have not repented after much, and God raised up an army of the enemy. Now we're looking in the physical now, because I want you to catch something in the spirit tonight. In the physical, God raised up an army. And this army were the Syrians. They built what they call a siege. And they built a siege, meaning they built a fortress around Israel. They blocked them in. They stopped. It was like a spiritual embargo. They stopped anything from coming into Israel, and they stopped everything from coming out. They formed such a fortress. They did not go in to attack them, but they just surrounded them and formed a siege. So Israel could not do anything. They could not harvest. They could not farm. They could not do anything. Everything they had was depleting until they came to the point where everything was gone. There was no more food. And there was such a famine as never recorded in Israel. It happened later in some other prophet's time. But this particular time, there was the time you all have read or you know about where the famine was so bad. Their condition was so bad in the physical that they were eating their children. And that was the story. So that was the situation. That was how bad things were. So at this very point where there was no food, nothing, the people were drying up and dying away. At this point, Elisha received a word in season. He received the time of harvest and the prophetic timing of God, because the waiting is over. So I'll read from chapter 7, from verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear you the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, that's in 24 hours, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, and Elijah said to him, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit? Why sit? You see the position they were in. Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we'll die also. Now, therefore, come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose. That word rose is the same word for arise in Isaiah 60. It's the same word for arise in Jehu. It's the same word for the word for arise. It's the same spelling in Hebrew for arise there. And they rose up in the twilight. The timing, what the timing when they rose up. And they rose up in the twilight, timing, to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there were no men there. For the Lord has made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come up upon us. Wherefore, listen to this, verse 7, wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight. The very moment the lepers stood up and took the first step was the very moment the angels started acting. And that was the very moment the Syrians stood up and started fleeing. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried then silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good news, good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called on the porters of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and donkeys tied, and the tents as they were. I will stop there. You can read the rest of the story, including the man that said, even if God opens heaven, nothing will happen. He died there. If you read the rest of the story, you will see that they took days to plunder, to carry the wealth of the wicked. And there was so much food that it was sold for almost nothing, just like the prophet said, overnight in 24 hours. Now, what does this mean? This is almost like Jesus was talking about, the seasons of harvest. When the iniquity or whatever God intended for the enemy to chastise his people, or whatever the people have done and they are suffering because of their sin, when that has come to an end, and the time has come for God to restore his people again, there's a transitional moment. And this transition begins in the spirit. And that's the reason why prayer, those who seek the face of the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, those who fear God, the Bible says, will God do anything without not revealing it to his servants, the prophet, those who fear him? Now, in the days of Elijah, before there was rain, he had the sound of rain in the spirit. So everything begins with the spiritual world before it gets to the natural. In the physical world, here is a siege in the physical. God's people were sieged, Israel. Okay? And this siege has caused them to go into famine, dryness. And now nobody can go outside the city. And the lepers could not go into the city because they were lepers. And they were at the gate of Samaria where they normally sit. And they could. So now, God released a word and said, the siege is over in the spirit. The time for harvest has come. This is, God says, at the time of harvest, I will send forth my reapers, my angels, and they will go and take care of the wicked and produce harvest for my children. So God now has a prophet, a servant of God, who waits upon the Lord, has had what is happening in the spiritual realm. He received this word about what was happening in the spirit. God's time has come. His Kairos moment, his window has come. My brothers and sisters, nothing in the physical realm can ever stay the same. So that's why we walk by faith. When God speaks, things can change overnight, because the natural is subject to the spirit. So the servant of God received the word and said, in 24 hours, there is going to be a change in Israel. There will be so much food that it will be sold for very little, and people will have food. But meanwhile, people were dying of starvation. So this man that was in charge of the king's affairs said, even if God opens windows in heaven, this will not even happen. That's how bad the things are in the physical realm. So the man received the word of God, and that's all that matters. Whenever we are able to hear from the Lord, that's all that matters. We now have to walk by faith. So here is what Elijah is saying. It's just like the Wailing Women Conference or whatever you're hearing in this season. God has spoken. He says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen. Arise is a prophetic word. And so many people are still sitting. Many people are still waiting, you know, or whichever way. The way you activate a prophetic word is, of course, you go into prayer and then you receive from God the strategy or the direction to move. Most of the time, this is how you move. With the example in this scripture, you move by faith towards the area of your enemy. You move towards your harvest field. You move towards the direction where the Spirit of God is moving, like Jehoshaphat did, like the children of Israel did. So here, at the gate of Samaria, Elijah did not move. God didn't tell him where to go. Elisha did not move. The children of Israel that received the prophecy, nobody was acting on it. Everybody just knew that the word of God has come, that there will be surplus of food. Nobody knew where it would come from. There was no imagining where it would come from. My brothers and sisters, all the food that God had was in the camp of the enemy. The provision was in the camp of the enemy. Everything that God wants to bless them with, overwhelm them with, was in the camp of the enemy, physical enemy. And this food, they were sitting on it. It was in the camp of the wicked. So nobody knew where it would come from. Why? Because the enemy, nobody can go to where the enemy is to take it. Because the enemy is the whole reason why Israel is under siege. So it looks absolutely impossible. There is no imagination how this will happen. So the number one point is, my brothers and sisters, if we are able to hear the voice of God, that's all you need. Settle it. Stand on it and pray into it. And then ask God, how do I move and where do I go? Don't walk by sight. Everything will begin to come into manifestation. So, like you read here, God partners with man whenever God speaks. So now God has spoken, but God has to walk with man. So nobody has moved so far. So in the gate, the lepers were sensitive to something, but they didn't know it was a spiritual atmosphere they were sensitive to. They were weak people, so they didn't have anything to lose. So they said, if we sit here, we'll die. We can't go into the city. The famine is there. So they said, let us go towards the camp of the enemy. That was a divine inspiration. You're going towards the camp of the enemy. That doesn't make sense. Why not you stay where you are and die, or go back? You're going to go to the enemy, save us alive. But it was an inspiration. So they rose. As soon as they rose, at twilight, took their first step, they activated the heavenly host to begin to act. You see, the Bible says it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit. Whenever is God's time, Jesus was even saying in the New Testament, God will release angels to begin to work on behalf of his people to produce what is needed. All they need to know is to understand God's timing and move in that direction. So as the lepers moved, the Bible says at twilight, as they moved, that's very twilight, the angels were already in the camp of the enemy walking. That was the time the enemy started perceiving thoughts. The Bible says the wicked flee when nobody is chasing him. So the thoughts started coming to their mind. The angels are walking at this point, causing thoughts to come to their mind, walking on them, and they literally fled for their life because they heard the sound of every step that the lepers took sounded to them like a mighty army was coming. Their feat of obedience was so amplified in the spirit with these angels walking with them, that the enemies thought the Egyptians and the other armies that has been mobilized by Israel to come after them. And none of that has happened. This is just a spiritual work God was doing because people were obeying God when they heard a prophetic word. And they fled. They fled, they left everything, like you see. And the lepers got there. These are lepers. They got there, and here is harvest. Here is the harvest. And they were able to harvest and then send the good news that God has provided harvest. What was their harvest? It was food. It was clothing. It was all the horses they needed, all the donkeys Israel needed. Everything they've lacked, they were able to harvest. The nation was replenished with blessing overnight in 24 hours. What a miracle. So here is the point for harvest for our time. In looking at this story here, Israel was besieged spiritually, physically, but it also has a spiritual connection. We, as the body of Christ, we are in the New Testament spiritual stuff. We have gone through some times of, you know, spiritual desolation. And that's why the church is where it is today. It lacks power and voice and provision and stuff. But of course, there's always a remnant that has carried the work of God forward. But this is a corporate time that God wants to corporately bring Israel back into plenty, into blessing, into restoration. It's a corporate. So for us, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We fight our battles in the spirit. And so from this story, the Syrians besieged Israel physically. The enemy has been at the doorstep of the church. And the enemy has besieged the church for so long, you know, in such a way that people don't walk by faith anymore. People are afraid of weaknessing. People are afraid of the harvest field. The enemy has set up his gates right at the gate of the church. Or the enemy has set up walls over the nation. Like today, you can't talk about, you can't preach against sin in America or in some countries. You can't even talk about praying in school. You can't talk about so many things. In some nations, you can't even mention, you can't even preach. So the enemy has not only put the siege on the harvest, spiritual harvest souls, but it's also come to the gate of the enemy. We don't want you to say anything. There's a siege on the church, financial siege, spiritual siege. There's no miracle as we used to know in the book of Acts or things like that. But God says there are certain things he will allow until harvest time. Regardless of the position of sin, or God says, when the harvest time comes, I will arise and I will send my reapers to do it. So we have come to that such a moment, like Israel, where they were in spiritual, physical famine, but we have been in spiritual famine. There has not been spiritual move like we have known. So it's more like a famine of the move of God, a famine of what we've read about in the book of Acts, the glory of God, the provisions of God, the miraculous workings that opened the doors of the nation to the heart of God. So there's been a famine. So God, when in the spiritual realm, God says it's harvest time, then it's God's time now to remove the siege. And whether this siege is in the spirit, God is already working in the spirit to remove the siege. But in the physical realm, God is looking for those who will believe the prophetic word for the season. If God says, arise, then ask God, what do you want me to do? Where are you sending me? How do you want me to pray? How do you want me to align myself? These are four lepers, my brothers and sisters. So God is showing it's not by might, it's not by power. It's not by whether somebody is an apostle or is a prophet or is, he says, whomever believes. So here the lepers believed and moved, stepped into what God is doing, and God used four lepers to restore the glory and the hope of Israel. Four lepers. In the days of Jonathan and Saul, when they were so afraid of the enemy, Jonathan and his armor bearer alone were sensitive to the Spirit of God and moved into the camp of the enemy and became instrument by which God started a major breakthrough, and the rest of the people came into it. So this is a window that God has opened, a new beginning in the spiritual realm, and something has started for the church. And this is the time for us now not to be sitting, in other words, to sit on the defensive, but to go into the offensive. The lepers went towards the enemy's camp, but God was going with them. This is the time for us to now go back to the gates of the enemy, because this is God's time. We are now to bombard the gates of the enemy and ask demand and begin to recover, like David, the things the enemy has stolen. We are to begin to recover and to spoil the camps of the enemy. Where is the things where are our financial provision? The Bible says in this time, and when God will begin to move again, he says God will take the wealth of the wicked and turn it into the hand of the righteous. And in the area of souls, the souls that we are believing God for, that Satan has blinded and held captive in his camp, they are not going to come to Sunday morning service. Of course, some will come, but you don't look for fish in a dry land. You go to the river. So this is not the time for us. This is the time for us to go to the enemy's gate. One, in prayer. And then as God leads us in obedience, looking for the steps to take. We might be looking like Israel, looking at the siege in the physical, the Syrian siege, and we might be looking at the condition of the famine. But there's a change in the spirit. And when the change came, Elisha said it, and nobody knew that the spiritual world has shifted. But as the lepers moved, that change in the spirit was manifested in the physical realm. So a change is taking place right now in the spirit. And it's happening in two dimensions. One, God is shaking the enemy's camp. Satan knows his time is short. So there's an activation of evil forces preparing themselves to really arise and do evil in the world, like you see happening. But at the same time, these evil forces are positioning themselves and rising to really go into real evil. Also, God is awakening. People has been preparing for a long time to arise and begin to position themselves and begin to pray against the gates of the enemy and begin to position themselves to be led by the Spirit into plundering the enemy's camp, into really seeking God's strategy on how to move in this moment. And then we begin to see miracles. We cannot sit and see miracles. We have to obey what God is saying in this hour. And as we take steps, then we begin to see, as they go, we begin to see miracles. So what I'm just sharing with you is what the Lord is showing to me prophetically about this season. And as I'm beginning to ask the Lord, what do I do? You know, where do I take steps? You know, okay, we know to be praying. I'm praying some of these strategic prayers. But then what are the physical steps we need to take? So that's the thing I'm asking God, okay, show me what to do, or show us, so that we are obeying God and not just doing things we used to do. And as I'm speaking to you, there are strategies that God is revealing. And these strategies, God is putting some puzzle together. And I believe that once he puts all of them together and we're stepping out, we are going to begin to see unbelievable plundering of the enemy's camp. It is time, and God has risen, and we're going to rise with him, and his glory is going to be reflected, manifested, as we obey the Lord in this hour. So, taking our scriptures from Matthew 13, God says, this season of harvest, I've sent forth my angels, and we've received that word. And then, this scripture I just read to you, it shows that when harvest time comes, we obey the word of God, God will begin to manifest, move on our behalf. So the first prayer point is for us, Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 3. If you read it, it says that God anointed Cyrus and he to open the loins of kings and to make the crooked path straight. And God anointed him to cut asunder the gates of brass and the bars of iron and to plunder hidden riches of secret places. And in the physical, this was a man, a king that God anointed to challenge the most powerful nation, Babylon, in those days, and was able to dethrone them and plunder the wealth of Babylon. And that's what they used to rebuild the temple. So what the Lord is showing me to share with you tonight is there are spiritual forces that has in various ways has been used as siege against our breakthroughs, both spiritually and physically and materially, monetarily. There has been a spiritual siege against the church, or against, you know, against the God faithful people. But now God is saying that siege in the spiritual realm has been taken away. We now are to partner with God to enforce what is happening in the spirit. We are now to arise like Jehu and move in the understanding of this anointing, first of all, through prayer. We are now to arise like Joshua and move towards the promise. We are now to arise, like it says in Isaiah 60, and begin to pray prophetic prayer of harvest, like we are now to begin to bind demonic hindrances to our finances. We are now to begin to bind demonic hindrances to people getting saved, to souls. We are now to bind demonic strongholds and hindrances to the gospel. We are now to bind whatever the Lord reveals to you. We're now to bind those things, and now we're now to begin to plunder, first of all, in the spirit. We're now beginning to call souls into the kingdom. We're now beginning to pray for the harvest of souls. It's time now for us to begin to cry out for souls, for God to give us the nations, to give us our cities, to give us America. This is harvest time. Give us our city. Give us. First of all, we're plundering in the spirit. And we might not be the ones, like Elijah, we might not be the ones God will use to do the evangelical work. We might not be the ones that God will use to go on the missions. We might also be the ones. But our job as intercessors is to clear the way in the spirit, to take care, to partner with God in the spirit. And God will use whomever he has raised up in this hour, like the lepers, to do the things that are needed to be done. But we are to clear the way. The way, the passage has been given. The commission has been given. God says, I have released enforcement from heaven. The atmosphere of heaven is behind you. This is a new season. Arise in the area of the spirit and begin to take, repossess the gates of the enemy. Begin to plunder. Begin to wage war against the gates of the enemy. We are now to begin to pray. Whatever it takes, that God will shake this nation and shake every fortress of the enemy, that prayer will be literally restored in school. Bible will be restored. That God will shake every voice in the nation that is perverse, every negative voice that is trying to silence the church. That God will shake everything that can be shaken. Because God has to shake the pride of the enemy. God has to shake the mountains. Mountains means pride, lofty, God, you know, lofty leaders or lofty positions that men take to wage war against God. That God will shake this mountain, shake everything that can be shaken. You know, that's the gates of the enemy. They have to be shaken. The Syrians were shaken and they fled in their mind. So God has to shake. Our provision is in the hand of the enemy right now. The things, the money God wants us to use to the gospel is being used for other things by the enemy. The souls that God wants us to plunder are still in darkness. All these things, God says, is now time for us to rise and begin to possess and claim our possessions in the spirit, and claim our finances in the spirit, and claim our health in the spirit, and claim for the glory of God again to permeate the earth. And these are the things we'll be doing. And then we'll leave it to God to use the people that he's going to use in these various areas. It's missionaries, it's evangelists, as whatever area. But we're going to see harvest. We're going to see financial restoration. My brothers, it's happening. I it's too premature for me to share with you what the Lord is showing to me. So keep me in prayer. Once God puts it together, I will share the testimony why God is activating all of us to enter into this season, knowing that a word has been released. It's a new season. Rise, and what God will do in your life will cause you to enter into your place of shining. Amen? Amen. So we're going to pray tonight based on this principle of the harvest time and what happened. We're going to pray tonight first that God will help us to believe that we have truly entered a new season. Because without believing, the action is a sign of you believe. We have to pray that God will help us as intercessors to believe this season. Our mindset be changed to get excited about, forget about our barren times, our dry times, our desolate time. The season has changed and God is saying, I'm going to replenish you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to overtake your enemy. I'm going to cause your families to come to the Lord. I'm going to open these doors no man can shut. I will shut doors. You know, this is harvest. This is the season. So I just wanted to share prophetically in this area of warfare for us to pray. Amen. So please take this prayer point. You can go study it. And however way it relates to you, whether at your job or your family, restoration of marriages that are shaken, that God will shake out everything that is contrary to a unified marriage, everything that is fighting your financial life, everything that is opposing the destinies of your family members coming to the Lord, everything that is holding your business or your ministry, whatever it is, this is the time to really plunder, be offensive towards the enemy's camp, because the Lord's anointing is already upon you to succeed in this direction. This is the season. Father, we thank you now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you said through your servant Paul that everything that was written in the Bible, they were written for our examples. Father, I thank you that you all through the Bibles have revealed seasons of transition. Times, oh God, in the days of Noah, you made it clear, oh God, that many will hear these words, but they will sit back until they've entered the ark. Father, you said it in the days of Joseph. There was a breaking news about what you plan to do, but only Joseph was able to prepare and position himself to enter into that harvest barn. Father, I thank you, even from your prophetic word today in the life of Elisha. We thank you because there's nothing in the physical realm, no matter the level of desolation, no matter the barrenness, no matter the condition of desert dryness we have been. Father, as being your covenant people, I know that you are a God of promise, that in the time appointed, you have promised and expected an end with expectation, that Father, you will arise again after your children has been purified and the iniquity of the wicked is full. You will rise again in the end to gather everything that stood in the way. And Father, I thank you that even now you have risen and you are awakening your sons and daughters to partner with you, to move at the unction of your spirit as you lead us, oh God, as you open our spiritual eyes to see as they move with the cloud by day and the fire by night, that we will be sensitive to the unction of your spirit in this hour, that we will not be hindered by the traditions of the past and the programs and the plans of the past, but that you will bring us in alignment of what you're doing now and where your spirit is moving now and where the harvest is. Father, I thank you that you show us, oh God, every camp of the enemy where our harvest is being held, that Father, in the name of Jesus, you will give us strategies like you gave to Joshua. The things we are to do, oh God, as we enter the lands of our inheritance, the places of our promises, into our harvest fields. You give us strategy in this hour. Open our eyes, even as you send your angels now. Father, help us, oh God, to partner with you, that we can move by the unction of your spirit, that we will hear clearly and we will see clearly, and we will only move as you reveal the direction and the things you want us to do. So we will no more lean in our strength, but we'll begin to experience, oh God, the manifestations of the supernatural. Father, I thank you that you are releasing revelations, strategic revelations on what we are to do. Father, perfect that in our lives in this season. Father, I thank you that you cause our eyes to be turned away from the siege of the enemy, oh God, against your church, against everything godly in the nation, against, oh God, the raging of the kings of the nation. Father, take our focus totally off man, off what the enemy is doing. Cause us to know that this is harvest. This is your moment. Father, you will move the mountains. You will cause the mountains to be be made low if we begin to move with your spirit. I thank you, Father, that you said you will bring the desires of the nations in this hour, and you will shake, oh God, the nations, so that your glory will be revealed in your latter house. And the glory of your latter house, you said, oh God, will be greater than anything that has happened in the past. And the knowledge of your rising in this hour, the knowledge of your glory, Father, we cover the earth as the water covers the sea. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray for everyone on this line. Father, open our eyes. Help us, oh God, open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, help us to believe and help us to press in with joy into the season of expectation. Help us to believe, oh God, that you love us so much that you brought us unto the time, oh God, that you will restore the things the enemy has stolen, that you again will cause the wealth that belongs to you to be taken away from the hands of the wicked and be used for your glory, that you again will begin to do a work that will cause men to be awakened from their slumber, that will break the mindset, oh God, that has been blinded, oh God, from the light of your gospel. Father, help us to believe again that you care for the souls of the nation, and you are able to save the lowest to the highest, the most wicked, oh God. Father, you can save to the uttermost. I thank you, Father, for this hour of harvest. Father, I pray that again your glory that you're beginning to manifest in our midst, that it will increase as the waters of Ezekiel 47, Father, until it becomes a river, that again, once again, your healing and your miracle will become natural in our midst. Father, we embrace this very move of your spirit. We embrace this atmosphere. We embrace these new beginnings. We embrace what you're doing. We wait on you. We yield to your spirit. I thank you, Father, for everyone, every soul on this line. I pray, Father, that you will begin to bring refreshing, that you will activate, oh God, a fresh expectation for them to embrace miracles in their lives. Father, I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you. I thank you for their perseverance. I thank you for the obedience. I pray now, God, that you will cause them to begin to reap in joy. To begin to harvest the fruits of righteousness, the fruit of their obedience in the things you're doing in this hour. Father, thank you for the amazing shift in the atmosphere. Thank you, Father. Help us to yield to you, that we can begin to embrace and enjoy the miracles you've prepared for us. Our eyes will see and our ears will hear, and we'll begin to walk in those things that you prepared for us. We thank you for it. Father, preserve this prayer line for your glory. Father, advertise your work in this hour through the obedience of your people. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor in the name of Jesus. Open our eyes, each of us. Oh God, lead us to the places of our harvest. Lead us, oh God, to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us not to look at the Syrians' position, Father, for when we obey you, oh God, they will not be there anymore. We thank you. We thank you for blessing your people. In Jesus' name, amen.